and lollipops.
But isn't it a strenuous to the eye to read?
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashodanandana Brajajana Ranjana. Yashodanandana Brajajana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivacharya Asyatara Shishri Maris Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Venta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Granth Rashimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Dai Gaura Brahmanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Tamal Krishna Goswami Tinamani. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vinda Swami Tinamani. Namaste Sharaswati Devi Gauravani Prachanya Visheshwami Vadi Pasita Adhishtha. Why are you saying that? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Jaiva Narottamam. Devim Saraswatim Vyasam. Tato Jayamudirayat. Nasta Preshu Abhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavate Uttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naistiki. Continuing on the first canto, chapter 2, text 11. Vadanti tat tatva vidas. Tatvam yajnanam advayam. Brahmeti paramatmeti. Bhagavan iti sabdhyate. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma or Bhagavan. So this particular verse spoken by Suta Goswami or Sukadev Goswami, it explains that the absolute truth is actually, one can understand the absolute truth in three ways. Particularly, it's referring to, in this statement, jnanam advayam. Jnanam means the knowledge, but it is also how different people assimilate that knowledge about the absolute truth, which you will find in the next verse, particularly talking about how different people view it. But at the same time, in this verse also, it means, according to some, with the knowledge, they understand the absolute truth as Brahman. Okay, so basically those are jnanis. So the jnanis will see the Supreme Person as Brahman. Then, with that same knowledge, the yogis will see the Paramatma within their hearts. And then ultimately the last category is the devotees. So they see the Supreme Lord as Bhagavan. So Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, less intelligent students of either of the above schools sometimes argue in favor of their own respective realization, but those who are perfect seers of the absolute truth know well that the above three features of the one absolute truth are different perspective views seen from different angles of vision. Okay, so that means it's still the Supreme Lord. It's not, yeah? So it's not that it's not the Supreme Lord, it's just different ways of seeing the Supreme Lord. Right? Is that okay? Because I couldn't see them, that's why. And of course, we have gone through this in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2. What is Brahman, what is Paramatma, and what is Bhagavan? One is a more deeper realization than the other aspect of the same Supreme Lord. But it doesn't mean it is not. It's the same, actually. In the first sentence there, Srila Prabhupada says, the absolute truth is both subject and the object. Subject means the knowledge itself. And the object is the goal of the knowledge. So depending on our understanding of the knowledge, we understand the Lord differently. Okay. And then within this material world, we need to understand that we are all actually, Prabhupada says, we are all living spiritual beings, and the Supreme Lord is also a spiritual being. So there's actually no difference between us. There's no difference. We are both of the same quality, and so it's still non-dual. But because we are in the material world, we don't act with the spiritual nature. We act with the material nature, therefore it becomes duality. Okay, that's how duality comes about. And Srila Prabhupada talks about the fact that this is inferior and superior energy. There's also the third energy, which is us, which are also superior energy. So in that sentence, he's talking about the three kinds of energies of the supreme energetic from the Supreme Lord. So you all know that as antaranga, bahiranga, and tatastha shakti. So because of this mixing of the inferior energy with the lower external energy, you have this duality, particularly you see things as inferior and superior also within the material world also. But in the absolute sense, there's no duality in that sense, okay? (Clears throat) All right, so then we go to the next text. One other thing you can say is the realization in the by the different categories, they don't have the full knowledge from Brahman to Paramatma to Bhagavan. So the full knowledge is only assimilated at the stage of Bhagavan. So the jnanam advayam, that jnana is complete in Bhagavan. Okay, whereas the other, it's partial. So I just wanted to highlight that. Everything is complete in Bhagavan. It's just that in this particular sentence or state verse, that's how they see it.
So what happens is typically people become very learned.
Yes.
Talking about in Andhra Pradesh,
mm-hmm.
you know, pious families, mm-hmm. they become very learned and they think Brahman is everything.
Mm.
I had one such person once come to the temple and
yeah.
very difficult to argue. They quote from all Shastra and they will quote the same verses we quote.
Yes.
And they'll say Brahman is everything.
Yes. If you read the if you have read the Srila Prabhupada's Lilamrita, when he meets this Russian, no, is it Russian? He meets one professor locally here. Yeah, and he comes to, in the beginning when Prabhupada was speaking at that the yoga center, so he corresponds with Prabhupada and says, Brahman is the highest. And Prabhupada quotes many verses to establish Bhagavan. And he quotes many verses from the Upanishads and Vedas to say, no, Brahman is. And finally, Prabhupada say, we agree to disagree. So, it's even though you are meeting someone who is very learned and who has practiced the thing and who has lived that culture, this person who hasn't done it, he has only a jnana. He cannot accept the person who has practiced it. So, sometimes you will meet such people. But we are not here to defeat them. Okay? So, the idea is, we know what, and whoever is innocent, we help them. But yeah, you're right. You're going to find many people like that. And they're going to stick to their guns. That's okay. But as long as they are following in all those shastrical injunctions, then it's at least better than not doing it. Yeah.
It's easier to give it to somebody
who has nothing. Yeah, people who don't have any understanding, it's easier to actually lead them. It's just like this example that Srila Prabhupada gives of a story of how this person went to a mridanga teacher and said, I want to learn. And then he had two other students or something. And the first guy, he asked him, do you know anything? He said, I don't know anything. Okay, I charge you so much. Then the other guy said, oh, I don't know anything. Okay, I'll charge you also so, you know, 5 rupees, 5 rupees. This guy, what do you, oh, I know so many things and this. And he said, so you're learning from me? Yes. So I'm going to charge you double the price, you know. He said, why? Because first I have to make you forget what you learned, then I have to teach you. It's like that, you know, sometimes. Those who submit, then we can retrain them. Albeit it's going to be difficult to train people once they have a conditioned nature. And that's what our problem is. In material world, we are all conditioned. So we need to unlearn our bad habits. And so the process of sadhana bhakti allows us to unlearn bad habits. Prabhu, if you don't mind, can you get some water for me? Right, so then this aspect of this four kinds of humans who see and understand the Lord differently, Srila Prabhupada talks in the next verse, text 12. We can chant together. Tachradadana munayo jnana vairagya yuktaya pasyanti atmani chatmanam bhaktya shruta grihitaya. The seriously inquisitive student or sage, well equipped with knowledge and detachment, realizes that absolute truth by rendering devotional service in terms of what he has heard from the Vedanta Sutra. Okay. So, Prabhupada translates the word Shraddhadana as seriously inquisitive. Shraddha means faith. So, this person has a lot of faith. So, therefore, he must be very serious. And in particularly, if you look at the verse, he at the end of that verse is Bhaktya Shruta Grihitaya. Okay, so this is based on bhakti. So that bhakti is, if the person is serious and he has bhakti, then he is referring to the Supreme Personality, Bhagavan actually. Okay. So that that realization of absolute here is by rendering devotional service means it's referring to the Bhagavan, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then Srila Prabhupada talks in the purport that how that which he states immediately, the absolute truth is realized in full by the process of devotional service to the Lord Vasudeva or Personality of Godhead. Brahman is his transcendental bodily effulgence and Paramatma is his partial representation. So therefore these two are partial understanding only. It's not complete, so it's partial understanding. And that's the point Srila Prabhupada wants to make. Then he says there are four types of human beings, karmis, jnanis, yogis and devotees. But karmis don't fall in the category of trying to understand. They are not transcendentalists. So he excludes them because they are only thinking of enjoying. So the other three are transcendentalists. Okay, because they are trying to understand the absolute truth. That's what the whole topic is. Okay, so that, and among that he then categorizes first class, second class and third class. So based on this differentiation of Brahman and Paramatma, which he already says in the beginning, partial realization, so he says devotees are also, whoever realizes Brahman and Paramatma are like first class, second class and third class realization also. Okay. So then Prabhupada, let me just read what he says. The first class is one who realizes the Supreme Person, Bhagavan. The second class is those who partially realize the Paramatma. There's no relationship, but there's a realization of the Paramatma. And the third one is they barely realize the spiritual focus of the Absolute. They just understand as the Brahman. That's why he says barely realize. And he again says, then he quotes the Bhagavad Gita and other Puranas. He paraphrases and he says, the Supreme Person is realized by devotional service. And even in fact, Krishna says that also. Bhaktyama avijananti. So, and then, but how does one come to devotional service? One has to get away from material thing. So, what did we read in the verses 6, 7, 8 and all?
The occupational duty should be never make a sound from it.
No, that is occupational duty. That is talking about whatever you do. But he, remember, by supreme occupation duty? No, is when you perform devotional service, you get knowledge and detachment. Okay, and what is this knowledge? Is the knowledge to? No, the knowledge to not get involved with the material nature also, and then you get, once you know the material nature is not going to help you, you learn to become detached. And that's what devotional service does and should do for us. And that's the jnana that you're getting. According to their realization, you will surrender also.
So, your question is like, is that knowledge both positive and negative? You need to know both, right?
Mm. Yeah, like knowledge is, you can apply it both ways. Yeah.
You need to know about avidya also.
You have to know. Otherwise, how do you know the advantages and the disadvantages, right? Like fire, you have to know how to use fire. Otherwise, or knife, for example, the knife in the hands of a surgeon is supposed to help and save life, but a knife in the hands of some crazy person will take life away. So you need to know both uses. So then Prabhupada then again classifies these categories of people. Then he says, the third class devotee or the neophytes who have no knowledge are not detached from material association, but who are simply attracted by their preliminary process of worshipping the deity in the temple are called material devotees. Or another word is? Prakrita Bhaktas. Okay. Now, in general, most people are in this category, even if they come to worship at the temple of Lord Krishna, because of their attachment to material nature, material things and so on. Because that's what their goal is. See, when you get knowledge, in the previous verses, what it says, as you said, dharma swanista pumsa, right? The all this must ultimately lead to devotional service. So if you have knowledge and you pursue material things, then you are not a first class person. Okay, so then this is again applicable for each and every one of us. So as we read this, we should know where we stand also. And it doesn't mean we remain in the same position. We have to change our needs, our goals to make advancement. That's why Prabhupada always says, don't remain down there, move up. Yeah. Become at least Madhyam Adhikari. Yeah. Because if you remain as Kanista, then you are Prakrita Bhakta. You just pursue a lot of material things and you'll do some puja and that's it, you know, and happy, you know. But then we are stuck and we have to go through all these dualities of happiness, distress, and so on and so forth. So therefore, Prabhupada says, material devotees are more attached to material benefit than transcendental profit. And then he says, you have to move from material devotional service to the second class devotional position. Yeah, because he says in many classes, lectures, so that's why I was saying that. Why second class is important? Because the devotee can see the four principles in the devotional line. Namely, the personal Godhead, the Lord's devotees, the ignorant and the envious. Okay? And this platform, you can help people. And that's very important. Because you know it's helpful for you, so you want to help others also. And then because he does that, then from there he can quickly go to the first class stage and then becomes eligible to know the Supreme Lord in truth, complete. Okay? And in the next paragraph he talks about how you get this information. This information, or rather, to be trained, you get it from a Uttama Adhikari. So he doesn't say immediately Uttama, he says a person, Bhagavata, who can understand the book Bhagavatam. Because the message of Godhead is in Bhagavatam, and someone who knows and practices it is the right person to give you the directions from the book. So you need a person, Bhagavata. So that is a spiritual person. And then he immediately says, many people, why? Because people think, oh, I just have to only hear the Bhagavatam. So they go to a Sapta or something. So Sapta, they want to imitate Sukadeva Goswami. So they give 7-day classes or whatever, right? And then Prabhupada says, this is all bogus. Because there are third class people talking. And then you're going to listen. And then he also, I believe he mentions lips touched by a serpent. Contamination is there. Because there, if you don't practice the principles of Vedic Dharma and then you want to talk on Vedas, then the potency is not there. Rather, you will lead someone off the track. Because, you know, like I think it's in Radhanath Swami's book where he meets this yogi, a Zen Buddhist, and the guy teaches, and then later on he goes and smokes and has sex with the disciples. So then even the disciple will think this is the standard. Yeah. The point is they won't get the truth. Not so much as hypocrisy. The truth is lost and misled by such people. So therefore Srila Prabhupada says, one cannot do that. And then again, he qualifies the Sukadeva Goswamis and Parikshit Maharajas, because they did it 7 days. But he says they are not on the same platform. They are on Uttama Adhikari, so that's different. They are not neophytes, that's the difference. Okay, when a neophyte cannot imitate a Uttama Adhikari. So that's why we always don't imitate, but we follow the instructions. Yeah. So we only need to follow instruction. We don't imitate what they do. So Rishabhdev, King Rishabhdev, what did he do? He gave up his kingdom and he walked naked in the from place to place. So we can't do that. Even if you try, then the first thing they'll do is the police will come and throw you into some... They'll do that. You can't walk naked into some nut house or something, right? A hospital like that. You can't do that. It doesn't work like that. So then, in the beginning, in the verse, the seriously inquisitive student, right? What must he do? So Srila Prabhupada then says, this sincere devotee must therefore be prepared to hear the Vedic literature, all the literatures left by the previous authorities or Goswamis, for what? For the benefit of his progress. What progress? Spiritual progress. Not for material, not for anything. So it's already defined. It's just that, do we understand this statement or not? And what are you going to do about it? Right? You can lead a horse to a water, but you cannot make it drink. So the same thing, Srila Prabhupada is bringing us to the water of knowledge or whatever you want to say. But it's up to us to actually dive into it and do it. No one can force you. That's what the free will is. So even the Supreme Lord can't do. The Supreme Lord creates this place to give us difficulty so that we don't stay here. But we make the place comfortable to stay. So... that's why he keeps coming back and coming back. So, at this point, why did the sages ask the 6 questions? For? Okay, so why those 6 questions?
Those are relevant questions.
How is it relevant?
Because that's the highest truth.
This is the sum one of all the scriptures, essence of all the scriptures.
Easy to follow.
Okay, what's the first question?
What is beneficial for all people?
Okay, ultimate benefit. So, ultimate benefit means? You're going to talk to someone outside who's new in this. What does it mean?
That is our eternal option.
You get that after beyond everything. You want to get
the
wish of the Lord.
You want to make them, they want, what is the ultimate benefit? So how do you convince someone this is the ultimate benefit? You're not thinking, you're just saying.
I'm saying that's permanent.
Okay, but how do I know that is my ultimate benefit?
Everybody is looking for happiness that gives the happiness which is everlasting and ever increasing, like without any disturbance.
To some extent, yeah, that's correct, yeah. You have to... Unless you know this is, when the sages say, when they are saying what is the ultimate benefit, do you know what they mean?
How can it stop suffering?
Huh?
The one which stops you the suffering permanently.
Yeah, but you are just speculating on one thing. But I'm saying, how do they... When they say that, how do you understand it? That's the thing. Because remember... These 2 statements is based on our jnana. And according to our understanding of jnana, we see certain things and our realization. But now we have to go back and say, okay, the sages I've asked these 6 questions. So ultimate, what is ultimate benefit?
That one which is applicable to all.
Yes, that which is applicable to everybody, every living entity, which is then mentioned in the verses 6 and 7, supraseda, yayatma supraseda, right? Correct or not? Completely satisfied. Yeah. And what is that self? The spirit soul. And then, why is it that has to be so complete? How is it that it will completely satisfy the soul?
It is natural for the soul to engage.
The fish has to be in water.
Yeah, see, now it's not one sentence answer. It has to make the person understand why you are saying that to him, you know. You're not forcing somebody, but you're giving them the knowledge, why this is helpful. Okay? Why does it? Because as you say, one person says constitutional. But if you just say constitutional, what does it mean to the person you're talking to? Huh? I say, what constitutional? So, we take out sentences and then we just our natural position, right? So, Srila Prabhupada wants us to present it in a way people also can understand. Now, before you come to ISKCON, so many terminology you don't know, but after you get immersed in the culture, you know all these things. But then you're meeting someone who's not able to know what you're talking about, you know. You say, fall down, what fall down? Right? Say, you are Maya, what? Isn't that? So we should think in terms... We should think in the terminologies that they can understand also. So the sages are asking questions for our benefit.
So we can say as like the characteristics of the soul is to be like happy, to be full of knowledge and eternity. So.
True, but as I said previously, first you have to establish that you are a soul. Once a person accepts that, then this are all easy. The difficult part is they haven't accepted, even if they come to the temple, they haven't accepted this, the principle that they are not the soul.
They're not the body.
Yeah.
But also, Prabhu, say, if you are trying to explain to someone, you say this is natural for the soul to do this, then we have to help them also experience that.
Yeah.
Because again, it is.
Yeah, see, now you're thinking. Yeah.
Because if I just say, even if I say it,
that's what I'm saying. You, it's not just gyan, but they have to experience it also. So now you're thinking about what I'm trying to make you all understand. It's not that we want to defeat them and then say, I came out strong, I'm better than you. It's not that. It's not that.
So then for me it is important that I follow
properly. Yes.
I feel the happiness.
Yes.
And they see that, oh, this is...
So they will be curious enough to listen to you further, because you have something they are kind of curious to also have it.
Like one person was going through a divorce and then one devotee couple was meeting them. They were just some office colleagues. And the devotee couple did not know that person was going through a divorce, but he looked really... His face looked really disturbed to them, but they just thought maybe she's just tired. And then he started asking them, what are you all doing and how are you keeping yourself busy and what extracurricular activities do you do? So they were just sharing different things. And then he said to them that, you look really happy. You must be doing something wonderful. That's why you look very happy. And because for him it was a bigger contrast, because he was...
Yeah, that's right. So you hit the thing in the nail, you know, that... you practice, and then when you practice it properly, then you should know the means to help somebody, because I've been through this, you know.
Yeah, my own struggles.
Yes. So you can share with those people like that. Or give them some kind of experience that they can really relate to properly. So that's the first question. What was the second question?
What is the
essence of all the scriptures.
Okay, so it's also the same two verses. The only difference is the essence is who? Krishna, yeah. Yeah. So 6 and 7 again answers the essence of everything is Krishna, the object. Okay, there's a subject and the object, right? See, the object of our all this is to go back to Krishna. So again, unless they understand they are a spirit soul coming from a source who's the object, it's not going to be easy. Yeah.
So also establishing Krishna has to be gradual also.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But the first thing is establishing this when you can talk. That's why Krishna Prabhupada's lectures you always see is always talking about the body, not the body, not the body. Then if I'm not the body, what am I? Then it's easy to connect with, yeah, you are a created person from such a source. Then they can accept those things. Okay.
One of the lectures Raghunath Swami Maharaj gave in London,
mm-hmm.
in Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
So he told, one should always preach, but only speak when it's necessary.
That's right.
So you should always live by example.
Behavior.
So you preach by example and speak only when it is necessary.
Yeah. And to speak when it's necessary, you better read the books probably. It's true. Otherwise, people ask you some question there, and if you don't know, then they'll say, what is this? You know, these guys are all useless guys. They won't have respect for Krishna. They lose respect. And that's our fault if they don't respect Krishna. We're pushing them away from Krishna. So therefore, we should know. And therefore, the more you hear the Prabhupada lectures, your Guru Maharaj lecture, read the books, the easier it is for you to explain something. Right? If you don't hear it sufficiently, how are you going to explain? It's not possible. And that's why one good thing is if you teach, you have to explain. And then you're forced to explain properly.
You're forced to read,
forced to listen, forced to think. Otherwise, you guys don't even think. Isn't it? It forces us. So that's very good to do that. You know, we should be doing that. So therefore, if you are sincere enough, so now it comes to that point, Srila Prabhupada. So if you're sincere, then you should be prepared to hear. And how much do you hear?
So another experience I mean, already must have that. But it's repeated, like progressive reading, as we said.
Hmm.
Gives you a lot of insights.
Yeah, you keep doing the same thing.
Same Bhagavad Gita, reading again and again.
I'll tell you, if you think the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita is not that interesting and the rest, keep reading it for like one whole week every day, you'll see how much you get.
We are realizing that after the Bhakti Shastri, we are reading now, we are enjoying more than. What we did,
they're all exam-based.
Yeah, because it was just pursuit of
passion.
Huh?
Passion.
No, pursuit of knowledge only. It wasn't for
realization.
Yeah, it wasn't. Now you're getting some realization. All right, so therefore, Srila Prabhupada rejects anyone who just makes a show of devotional service, if it's not supported by Shruti, Smritis and authorities like that, no? Sadhus and so on. Okay, and then he also makes another thing, an unauthorized devotee should never be recognized as a pure devotee. Okay, that means no disciplic succession, just some buddy sitting there talking katha. Sometimes they can talk very nicely the katha also, you'll be amazed by their knowledge also. But there's no bhakti. Because they don't even want to tell you to give up and go to Krishna. They say, please stay here, give me your money. That is the. So how can they be your well-wishers? Okay. So by assimilation of such messages from the Vedic literatures, One can see the all-pervading localized aspect of the personality of Godhead within his own self constantly. This is called samadhi. So then you can come to a stage of a pure devotee. You don't go and see someone giving sapta and say he's pure. Prabhupada says you can also become pure actually by following the system. This is called samadhi. Text 13. Atha pumbi dvija shrestha varnasharam vibhagashah svanasthitasya dharmasya samsiddhir haritoshanam. O best among the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging the duties prescribed for one's own occupation according to the caste division and orders of life is to please the personality of Godhead. This is again repeating the same sentences, huh? same point. Yes. No, not that one, the other one. Occupation. Dharma Sonista Pumsha. No, the other one.
The supreme occupation.
The supreme, no, not supreme. The, no, dharmasya apavargasya nartho artho pakalpate. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. It's for the performance of prescribed duties.
Yeah, they should not be made for material gain. Yeah, and then the one is Dharma Sonista Pumsha also. These two. Okay? Because it's useless. So one shouldn't pursue for anything else but to come to the point of pleasing the Supreme Personality God. Now here the focus is now on Varnashram. Okay? So In the verse itself says Varnashram Vibhagasha, but and also Krishna talks about that he created the four Varna and Ashram. Why?
For gradual advancement of people in the mode of, in the mode of goodness. And then
so what is the aim to?
Purify.
Purify from what?
Mode
the modes, the material modes. Everybody gets purified. So that's exactly what it is. You know, four castes, four orders means we are covered by the different modes. So we have to follow certain rules and regulations so that we can get rid of that influencing our devotion. When you do transcendental activities, the modes don't act on us. Okay? Regardless of which caste you are in. Okay? Caste has nothing to do with bhakti. Okay? Devotion service is independent of birth or caste or whatever, is independent. Right? Remember? It's free from karma, free from jnana. It's not dependent on all these things. Okay.
So prior to Prabhupada, nobody even mentioned this, that the four divisions are there for pleasing the Supreme Person.
In the West, yes. That's right.
Even in India.
Oh, India, they don't want that. It's political. It's the same over here. They control certain things. That they're controlling in a different way, but it's all a matter of profit taking, no?
Janma karma vibhagas. Karma, they say in fact, word.
Right? So then he defines what Varnashram is, Prabhupada defines, and to show us how it will be helpful for human society if these divisions are all based around devotional life. So, Prabhupada's definition of Varnashram is Devi Varnashram. Okay? Not just ordinary Varnashram that is people think. He qualifies it by saying, the sentence he says is, the aim must be to please the supreme authority of the personality of Godhead. So that is the Devi Varnashram.
What are the different types of Varnashram you mentioned before?
It's only one that they just think.
Material.
Yeah, material Varnashram, the other one is spiritual. Yeah. The material one is what they are now focusing on. And even that also now is corrupted, it's also corrupted by the country's law, right? Now the Harijans can get higher job even if they are not qualified. So it's all screwed up now.
Is there a book where all the more details are given about the reincarnation, or it's like what Prabhupada is saying?
I think there may be some essay by some Maharaj on
Gandhari Mataji is from
Bhakti.
Yeah. I have read something, but it is not
Bhakti Rava Maharaj written book.
Yeah, he has those classes also.
But even if you don't, what I'm trying to say is the material, because of the fact that each of us are acted on by the modes of material nature and we already have it in ourselves, we actually are not unknowingly, we are still in that category. Just it's not defined clearly. Because by nature you will do the certain activities. You can say no, yes or whatever, but you will do those things, you know. If you are by nature you are lazy, you are going to be lazy. You will find ways to be lazy. Yeah, right? If you get a lazy guy to manage, how is he going to manage? Yes, sir. He'll delegate and not follow up because he's sleeping somewhere. It doesn't matter. You can see it in any level, even in your corporate world. Because that's how it is. Because they're not qualified and they shouldn't be managing. But that's how karma is working. So it's all confused in this yuga. All right, so the Varnashram system is to focus on the aim of life. That is what Devi Varnashram system is. A normal Varnashram system, they just think you just serve the other order, the lowest serve the highest, and that's how it is. And therefore, they may be pious because they follow karma kanda only. Okay, that is the ordinary without Krishna in the center. But when Krishna in the center, they all support one another to get out of the cycle of janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi. Okay. Yeah, the main thing is to please Krishna. And in the Varnashram system where it's for pleasing Krishna, you don't have so much contention, there's no more hoarding propensity and all those things, because everything is shared properly for the advancement of the individuals or as a society. But if you don't have that, it becomes sense enjoyment. So then you hoard. Then you charge more, you gain more. So that's what happens in such a system. So
even 40 years ago, like my grandfather used to keep all the grain in a big container,
mm-hmm.
and somebody would come, ask for grain, and every day give some grain, a daily basis.
Yeah, that is how it was in those days. They are supposed to help, you know. In fact, in the old system, the king's tax, when they tax, they give grains and all. It's not for the king. How much is he going to eat? So he stores it, and then when there's famine and drought, he gives it back to the people. That's what the job of the king was. But all these are not... now they take and say, how much you want to pay me? And then they make profit. Okay. So it's mainly to satisfy the Lord. So the king was a representative of God, so therefore he took care of his subjects. Okay, text 14. Tasmare kena manasa bhagavan satvatam pati srautavya kirtitavyascha jaya pujascha nityada. Therefore, with one pointed attention, one should constantly hear about, glorify, remember and worship the personality of Godhead, who is the protector of the devotees. So, one-pointed, no? So, ultimate aim of life is to do devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's what it is. One pointed, this aka Guru Nandana, like that. Be one pointed. But one pointed in what? To do everything, devotional service. And devotional service you break down to sadhana bhakti, vaidhi sadhana bhakti or aganuga bhakti. So this is sadhana bhakti. Constantly here, glorify, remember. It's also raganuga. Constantly here, glorify and remember. Satatam kirtayantu mam. So every, whether you are a neophyte or you are advanced, you still do this. Okay? Because the Supreme Lord is our worshipable Lord, who is our protector. Yeah, you can say that also. That's true.
2.41.
2.1? 41 Bhagavad Gita. Vyavasa. Oh, Vyavasa. Buddhi. Aka Guru Nandana. Bausaka Anantascha. Okay, so let me see. Let's see if there's any important. Yeah, so that's what it is. Ekena manasa, one-pointed. Devoid of desire to perform karma and jnana. It's ekena manasa. It means pure devotional service. So then, having understood this, that everything is meant for pleasing the Lord, then in text 15, yat anudyashina yuktaha karma granti nibandhanam chindanti kovidastasya kona kuryat katharatim. With sword in hand, intelligent men cut through the binding knots of reactionary work, karma, by remembering the personality of Godhead. Therefore, who will not pay attention to his message? So remember in the beginning he said, yes. Yeah. And then in the middle he said, everything should be for the message, right? Any activities must be, if it doesn't evoke the desire to hear about the Krishna or the message about Krishna, then therefore who will not pay attention? Yeah. So then Prabhupada defines karma, and that is the contact of the spiritual spark with material elements creates a knot which must be cut if one wants to be liberated from the actions and reactions of fruitive work. So what's the definition of karma?
The action.
In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says.
To generate new bodies.
Yes. Yes. Chapter?
13.
8. Questions Arjuna asks, right? Right? Kim tad brahma?
Kim karma.
Yeah, kim karma. Yeah. So then Prabhupada here gives you further understanding of what karma is. It's when the living entity comes to the material nature, he gets attracted by it. So he tries to enjoy through his senses. So that creates a knot, and that is what binds us to it. And then, and this is through our actions and reactions based on how we react to the material nature. So then liberation means freedom from the cycle of this reactionary work, or karma. And how do you stop that? By constantly remembering the transcendental pastimes, personality of Godhead. So that is actually samadhi. You know? Are we at that level? It's not so much, okay, I'm not at the level, so now what am I going to do? Oh, I can't do it. What is the thing? What are we supposed to do?
Endeavor.
Yeah, the endeavor must be. And that is in the nectar of instruction. Utsahan, nischaya, dairya. Yeah. Tat tat karma pravartanat.
Because Krishna will see that.
Yes, at least, yeah. Because Krishna is not obligated, okay, but he gets pleased because his devotees will tell him, look, he is doing. Radharani might say, look, he's suffering. Why are you not giving him or her? Yeah, it's like that. So your spiritual master will say, he's working hard, my disciple, take him, bless my spiritual. Just all your spiritual master need to do is feel happy one time, that's it, you go back
already.
After
that, we do mistakes,
huh? You may not make the mistake after that, because the blessings are there, no? Once a blessing is there, the divine grace is there, you shouldn't be making any more mistakes. It may seem like a mistake, but it will be done with love, it cannot be a mistake.
So we are trying to practice something in a very intense manner, but there are a lot of people who, at least not now, but 30, 40 years ago, they would do their day-to-day activities, but on occasion remember Krishna, do some festivals.
Well, you don't know. How do you know?
That's my question.
Yeah.
So they were doing it as a part of their daily life.
Well, you see, you can't just, you're generalizing because you don't know, they could be pure devotees. Externally, they may be doing their daily duty, but everything is dedicated to the pleasure of the Lord. Right? Yeah, so you can't say like that. But in general, most people are just doing, once in a while they listen. Yeah, you can say like that. Yeah, but what is their... What is their destination?
Yeah,
when it's a Vedic culture, then it is always a pious activity. Okay? When the culture is based on just doing the right and not doing the wrongs, but if it's not centered for the pleasure of Krishna, then it's just pious. I follow the Vedic culture strictly, but I don't want to surrender to Krishna. That's just piety only.
But nobody taught them that surrender is even important.
No, that's because the system was corrupted. Sakalene mahato yoga nasta parantapa. Okay. So then acharyas come and they re-establish those things. Krishna comes through the acharyas, empowered personalities. And so then Prabhupada also comes to re-establish this dharma.
Worldwide,
yeah. So then again we are reviving it, you know. Albeit we have so many problems, but we are at least attempting it under his guidance. So therefore, at least he is our protector, as Krishna is the protector. Remember we were reading just now? He is the protector. So when we say Krishna, it includes his avatars, his expansions, as well as his devotees. So Krishna is there. He's guiding us also. Okay? Huh? Vrindavan? He's on a different level.
24/7.
That's good. Don't forget us. When you all get liberated, or go back to Godhead. Alright, so then the activities of the Lord are transcendental to the modes of material nature. They are all attractive spiritual activities. And therefore, constant association with the spiritual activities of the Supreme Lord gradually spiritualizes the conditioned soul. And that's why we are chanting, we are having classes, we are trying to come to a stage of remembering these activities. And that's one of the reasons why Srila Prabhupada wrote the Krishna book, so that you can read it and remember those pastimes. It's better if you can, if your mind is always running, it's better to at least think of Krishna's pastime and chant than to let your mind run and chant. And that will cut the material. The thing is, as you do, if you chant and you do all these things, you should find in your life that you're losing taste for material things. You must come to that. And if it doesn't happen, then there's something wrong in your execution. Yeah, you're putting some blocks somewhere. So you need to analyze carefully what is that which is blocking. Is it some offense, or is it something I'm doing wrong? And it's, usually you will know. And then either you cry and beg, or you just continue. Then the mercy will come. Sometimes for some of us it's easier. We can just make advancement very quickly. For others, we have to cry. And finally, we get some blessing. We make a little advancement. The problem is, people who suffer a lot, you know, like all, most of us, it's because as soon as we get a little advancement, we think we are so great. No? So then we get smashed. So then we fall back, and then we cry again, and then get a little bit. But that is because we don't have, it could be Hridaya Durlabham, you know, weakness of heart. A weakness of heart is because of too much association with material nature, and also with bad association. Yeah. And that's where it comes from, weakness of heart. So these are there. We know, we have the jnana, but then we have to apply it properly. And application properly means we have to be constantly vigilant. So then you can say, I'm an intelligent man with a sword in the hand. That sword in the hand is the knowledge. Fourth chapter, transcendental knowledge, right? And so if you can't do it on your own, then you need devotees to help you. And so association is important. No one is going to go back to Godhead alone. You go as a team effort. Krishna is never alone. So, and therefore, devotees, if you associate with devotees, Krishna is there. So if you're alone, then how can Krishna be there? And if you fight with another devotee, then you're fighting with Krishna. Because Krishna never fights with anybody. He doesn't. He only fights with the gopis. That's and that's his leela. So then, what is pure devotional service? Anya bilasita junyu, jnana karma de anavrutam. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada says, pure bhakti is independent of such karma and jnana. Okay? And particularly for us, we are more interested in devotional service, loving devotion. We are not interested in anything else. We don't want anything from Krishna. We are not interested in those things. We are not interested. Rather, we just want to do service for the Lord. That's also not easy. But then, that's basically what it is. And then Prabhupada then, you know, like, is kind of sarcastic. Therefore, any sensible man who's above the average man with a poor fund of knowledge must constantly remember the person of God by hearing about him. So you can't remember him, but how you remember is by? That means going to classes, listening to lectures, and singing, remembering slokas, chanting mantras. Like you say, man mana bhava mad bhakti madhya jimam namaskuru. Yeah. Huh? Yeah, reading Prabhupada's books also, like that. So when we, and the point is, without cessation, okay, I'm not a pure devotee, but if I constantly do some bhakti, devotion, then I'm actually, I am on the path of pure devotion. Yeah, huh? Okay. More like, more like you are on the path of pure devotion service, as long as you're doing it, because which means you're going to become pure eventually, or sooner or later. But the point, problem is we don't sustain that.
So what is the role of practical devotion service? Like, you know, some people are focused on washing dishes, some people are cleaning for some. What is the role of that in all of this?
What do you mean, what's the goal of that? All of that should be part of your...
Is this a part?
Yeah.
How much of it should it be?
Huh?
how much of practical devotional service versus...
It should be 100%. It should be. You know, that's what Prabhupada is saying here. Without cessation means 100%. The problem lies in our ability to perform that or sustain, as he's saying. Yeah. That means we don't know when, we don't know how to see the activities we do in our life related or connected to Krishna. We don't know how to see it. And therefore we don't attempt to perform it in that sense. If you, it requires purified intelligence. And to get to that stage means you have to actually trust yourself in the hands of the Lord. Right? It's a two-way thing, you know. It's not one way. You, as you surrender, Krishna will give you more intelligence. Right? Tesam evanukampartam, right? That's why when you remember those verses, then you think, ah, yeah, he's right. Krishna is right. He says, I'll give you deeper the knowledge to come back to me, but you have to attempt. He will only give the knowledge if your attempt is 100%. That means you have to be sincere. If you cannot do 100% sincere, that means he'll go through your spiritual mass or another devotee. Someone will say, Radhika, why are you doing this nonsense? Why don't you come to the temple? That means Krishna may be talking through them. The point is, can you see that? And someone tells you that, can you see Krishna there, or do you see the other person you hate? It's difficult, isn't it? It is. It's a challenge though. That's why the process is actually very easy. But complication comes in, yeah, and troublesome. It's actually very easy. It's all set out. Everything is there. The system is perfect. We don't know how to apply it. Or we don't want to apply it. And that's based on false ego. Ultimately, it's false ego. Envious of Krishna.
You mentioned that for a long period, it's difficult sometimes to sustain it, right? So what are some of the... like things we should be aware of or like conscious of? Offenses are one thing, but are there any other things?
You see, if you are engaged in service, you cannot commit offenses. So the less service you do, the more chances of offending.
More free time to do offenses.
Yeah.
While doing service also.
Yeah, that may happen, but that is different because you are always striving to do service. So the offences can be purified or cleansed away.
So His Holiness Rumpad Maharaj once said, Seva Aparad can be covered by chanting.
Chanting, yeah. But Nama Aparad you can. But you see, Seva Aparad can transform to Nama Aparad if you think on the basis of chanting you can continue Seva Aparad.
So that is
7th.
Yeah.
So basically, if we cultivate that service attitude of always wanting to do service, then that translates into humbling of the mind also.
Yeah, no, you become a receptacle for mercy because you are willing to do service.
In the mood of
constitutional position is service, na?
So aligning ourselves more and more.
To get the mercy. That's what it is, yeah. It's not like, you know, it's like, there's no pill that they sell that you can pop and then you get bhakti and mercy. It's done. But Prabhupada says there's an ointment that you can apply in your eyes, you know. But that also you have to work for it. Hmm? I mean, it's all there, you know, it's just that we don't apply the principle. And that's why you got to help each other. You have to, you cannot keep saying, I always give this example, recipes, you know, you don't share recipes. You know. You have to share recipes. Then you find you all, you don't feel, it's not yours. Actually, the original recipe is coming from Krishna and Radharani. So then who are you to not share it?
To the name, oh, this person cooks nicely. things.
Who cares?
If
the fame is for yourself, it's lost after when you die, you know, it's gone. Who's going to remember after for one generation is totally gone? But if you are connected to Krishna, you'll always be remembered. Just like Prabhupada, will always be remembered for thousands of years, eternally. Janme janme Prabhu se. Birth of the birth, serve such a person.
Regarding association, there's a beautiful prayer by Guru Maharaj. So, after Guru Maharaj, meditates and then when the Lord comes, so the Lord actually touches Guru Maharaj's head with conch shell, and then Guru Maharaj speaks. So, one of the beautiful prayer I want to share. So Guru Maharaj continued, "O Unlimited Lord, kindly bless me so that I may associate with great devotees who engage in your transcendental loving service constantly, as the waves of a river constantly flow. Such transcendental devotees are completely situated in an uncontaminated state of life. By the process of devotion service, I shall surely be able to cross the nascent ocean of material existence, which is filled with waves of blazing fire-like dangers. It will be very easy for me, for I am becoming mad to hear about your transcendental qualities and pastimes which are eternally existent." So Guru Maharaj, after going through all the austerity, he saw the Lord. But his prayer is that he wants to associate with his devotees.
Right.
And Prabhupada, this very beautiful Prabhupada writes the point in the purport. The significant point in Guru Maharaj's statement is that he wanted the association of pure devotees.
Narada Muni.
So transcendental devotion service cannot be complete and cannot be relishable without the association of devotees.
Devotees, yeah.
We have therefore established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness.
For
anyone who is trying to be aloof from this Krishna Conscious Society and yet again in Krishna Consciousness is living in a great hallucination, for this is not possible.
Yeah, that's not arrogance, that's a fact. That's a realized person saying, because everyone is arrogant, and they don't want to join because they think you don't know anything. But he's saying they are going to suffer.
So
very powerful statement, yeah.
So this was really striking to me. If you think, I'll be away, I'll just go and do my devotion service, it's impossible.
Yeah, you shouldn't think like that.
Prabhupada actually
smashes that thing.
It's hallucination. You cannot do it. You devotees.
No, at least I have this tendency to think that they're all friends and not on a devotional platform. So I meet on a daily basis, but still it's not the mood that is expressed there.
Oh, well, that's something you all have to cultivate, no? Just for example, when the Maharajas and all come, you all should learn to glorify them also. Generally, you see, when the speaker of the Bhagavatam, everybody glorifies him, right? So, in the same way, when the sannyasi, someone comes, your spiritual master, you should glorify them. Not because, you're trying to carry favor or anything like that, but it should be a genuine glorification, because by glorifying them, you actually develop humility also. And you should mean it. This person is special, I want to glorify this person.
Glorify them with each other or?
And also, others will also then learn, this is the mood should be like that. And then they'll feel, I should also, not think like, I know better. This. It's a culture. When the culture is set properly, then others can learn quickly. Yeah, but when the culture is to despise one another, then that is the mood you're setting. The standard becomes skewed. Isn't it?
Tendency to get familiar with everything. So three things we need to take care of: appreciation, gratitude, and respect.
Right. Yeah, gratitude is very important. Yeah, so that's, just before the Guru leaves, the last day, all can say, we want to thank you for... That's very important, because at least they feel I've touched someone's heart, and then they'll feel good to continue their service also. It's true. Otherwise, they may be transcendental, but still,
your appreciation will be recognized by the Supreme Lord also. And then at the same time, if you can say that, then you're giving up your ego, you know. Yeah, exactly. It's your purification also. Yeah. So you can say, I'm going to glorify you, but it's for my purification I want to do this, so that I don't become proud. And then you can say it like that. So if you can do that naturally next time, but you have to, after that, don't become familiar with doing that. You understand? Then it becomes like a lip service. Yeah, lip service. No, you should, it should come in humility.
Prabhu, if not directly with Maharaj, we can do it among ourselves also.
Yeah, you can do it amongst, you can even write, yeah, email and thank the person for giving so much, yeah.
Actually, I remember 5 or 6 years ago we used to do these things. Now we stopped doing it.
Now you've advanced.
For whatever reason, we well, I'll try that.
Yeah, it's, a it's called advancement. Yeah, so, okay, so let's go to text 16. So all these verses are very beautiful. You all should memorize this verse. Shushushushadadanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Syam Mahatse Vayakritra Punyatita Nishavanat. O twice born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. Vasudeva Katharuchi. How do you get it? Sen Mahat Sevaya Vipra. Okay. So this is what we were just talking, you know. So when those, you know, all those great Maharajas, all when they come, you know, not just sannyasis, a lot of Prabhupada disciples are very, actually they are very special. They may not appear special, but they are very special. So, you know, you should not feel inhibited, but try to help them, serve them, whatever you can. But don't calculate. Don't see what you gain or anything. Don't think like that. See, if you can help, help. You know, but always make them feel happy. So by such service, one gains affinity. You will develop because they will bless you. Vaishnavas are very merciful, so they will bless you. And then you will develop the desire to listen to the messages of hearing the message of Vasudeva means you will act on it, gives you the strength to act on it. Hridaya Durlabham will be released. All those Hridaya Granth knots in the heart get slackened. Yeah, so that's important to understand the. Huh? Yeah, so you know, he's doing his best for so many years. So, you know, serve him nicely. You know. Don't revolt against him. Prabhupada says the conditioned life of living being is caused by his revolting against the Lord. Yeah, so there are men called Deva or godly living beings, and there are men called Asuras or demons who are against the authority of the Supreme Lord. So 16th chapter. Who are the Asuras and who are Devas? How do you define it?
One who follows the scripture.
Yeah. Yes. One who accepts the scripture and one who don't accept scripture. Okay. So a lot of that is Srila Prabhupada refers, he says in the 16th chapter. So he wants us to also know those things. Huh? So how do these Asuras get out of it? Through the mercy of the devotees. So therefore our job is already there. Srila Prabhupada is saying clearly, you know, we have to help everyone. According to the Lord's desire, not according to our desire. So you don't try to change people the way you want. No, the system Prabhupada already set already. So don't go and think you can You know, that's what they do, right? Sometimes, because we think we are making advancement, we cultivate some people when we take them to our place only. And then don't go there, don't go there. And you control them until the guy will run away. Then you lose them. Isn't it? We shouldn't do such thing. Or you cultivate them and then you only want to take them to your guru. No one else should see them. That's nonsense. That's not our philosophy. You cultivate them so that they can get association with all the Vaishnavas. And then the way a person chooses guru is very, very personal. It's in the heart. And so if you try to intervene, you are offensive. I'm telling you, be careful. So it's between the heart, the jiva and that the Krishna through that person. If he sees Krishna in that person, he's going to surrender no matter what you do. But if you intervene and make them take somewhere else, you are spoiling their devotional life. And it's very dangerous. So don't try to intervene. Always try to bring everyone to a sadhu and let the sadhu do his magic or Krishna do the magic. You don't do the magic. Because you lose, you'll really do a magic. You'll make the person disappear. Okay? Okay, then Prabhupada says something very interesting here. He says, in different countries, according to the Supreme Will, the next sentence he says, such devotees of God are very confidential associates of the Lord. And when they come to save human society from the dangers of godlessness, they are known as the powerful incarnations of the Lord, as sons of the Lord, as servants of the Lord, as associates of the Lord. So don't take the devotees as ordinary people also. So among yourselves, don't think the other person is ordinary, because you don't know. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, his mother, stepmother didn't know. So she suffered. She had to die in the forest fire. So you don't know who Nitya Gauranga is. No, we don't know. He could be eternal associate in one of the pastimes. All of you could be. In fact, you have a position in the spiritual life. The point is, you don't know where they are at the moment. So don't try to... If you have differences, that's fine, you know. That's, you know, just say Haribol and then walk away. But don't take it personally and then from a distance shoot your arrows. Right? Like the Mahabharata going on. Right? All the different astras coming through.
Sabdastra.
Huh? Shabdastra. Shabdastra. Well, that's what happens, right? Yeah, then it hurts, right? Then it's right. Because, see, the other thing is, when you come to, you'll find the devotees who take up the process, but in average, from my observation, at least I'll tell you what I see, is they are very sensitive people. Devotees are very sensitive. They may be soft, but they are very sensitive. That means if you say something, they will get hurt also easily. So you may say it's too sensitive or what, but you are sensitive, that's why you are taking up the process, you know. And so therefore you shouldn't hurt one another. If you hurt a devotee, you are hurting Krishna actually. Because he wants them to be near and you are kicking them out like that. Or you are fighting among, he doesn't like it. If he sees his own family fighting, how can he come? So then Krishna won't be in the family. Then he'll stay away. So then everyone feels dried out, right? After that, oh, why are we not doing anything? So we can't be like that. Okay.
The most often what we do is, you know, especially with the husband and wife, right? We always try to, because they're very close, they're very caring, but now we are very easy to offend.
Offend each other, okay. I mean, when Narayan is saying that husband and wife are very close, so therefore when they fight, they become too sensitive.
Yeah.
Or they are sensitive.
They often offend each other.
Yeah, that's true, because you don't know, because your wife could be very advanced. So you offend them, then you suffer. Either you don't know. Actually, you cannot offend anybody else, you know. It's not right, actually. So it's very bad.
Once I asked this question to Rampal Maharaj, he said that if you offend your husband, since he's a Vaishnava, you're committing Vaishnava Aparadha, you have to suffer for that.
Yeah, it's not
applicable
good.
To children also.
Yeah, that's true. But you know, but up to 5 years you can spoil them. After that, you have to take the stick. How old is your son now?
Okay, 4 and a half.
Tell him.
4 months.
Another 6 months.
No, but not really. You have to tell him you're going to be stricter with him. And then you try to just enforce strictness, but not like beat him like a punching bag or not. Because most Indian family, they beat means they're really beaten, no? They get the, but it's wrong. I mean, it should be done. You can. Yeah, Sudha Mai beat Krishna, so it's not like she didn't beat him. So, yeah, you can, but it has to be done properly.
But when she saw that, he realized when she left
this. No, she tied him up. That's bad. He was. She
just can have this stick.
Yeah.
But they should not use them.
Yeah.
They can show it, but they should not use it to beat. That's what proposal section is.
Yeah. But Chanak Pandit says you should. Yeah. That's an old English saying, you should spare the rod and spoil the child. So that means. There is a use for it, not that abuse it, you know. Corporal punishment has its place, but we need to know how to use it. Anyway, I think it's 9 o'clock now, so we stop here. And then we stop here because we came to the verse that I started in the beginning, okay?
Yeah, okay.
All these verses you all should know by heart, actually. All these are amazing verses. Actually, I can tell you, in Canto 1, you need to know the first chapter, first verse, second verse, third verse, and 10. 1, 2, 3, and 10. Chapter 1. And I'm not sure whether Prabhu sent you all the list or not. And then in chapter 2, you learn verse 4, 6, 7, 8, 11, 13, 17, 18, 19, 20. Okay. Got it? You all must have good hearing. Some places have to repeat 10 times. In chapter 3, verses 28 and 43. Chapter 5, verses 10, 11 and 17. No. Chapter 7, verse 10. Chapter 8, verses 25 and 26. And chapter 13, verse 10. So that's verses for your, like, testing purposes. But you can memorize the whole book if you want. 22 verses in Canto 1. Wonder 8, there's two only for now. This is for just the testing, but I said you, if you know the whole prayers, it's for our purification. You have it there? Okay.
I'll send it to Madhavaram.
Okay.
I might give more later on, but this is what I'm giving now.
Saati Mataji, she is cooking for us every day, every evening. So please go and pick up the prasadam. She is cooking every day. Every evening. If you don't want, then I can tell her not to do it.
No.
Yes, sir. So, she... Whoever is not going, then let me know that she is making for 20 devotees. Actually, she is making dinner as well as lunch pickup. So you don't have to prepare your dinner as well as lunch. You can pack both, or at least the lunch. You can eat the dinner there. And lunch you can pack for the next day. Yeah, she's making for everybody. So if she's saying if you're not coming, let's say today I said and I'll talk to you this. I think only Harish Prabhu went today. Right?
So Padma typically makes my special diet, so I should stay away.
So I'll ask for them 10 devotees. Okay? Okay, who wants to go every day? Just raise your hand. I'll just give their name. One. No, if you say yes, then you have to go every day because she is going to make. I
will not actually know. I just went to take darshan.
So darshan includes that.
Rajya, I don't.
Rajya, it's more than 5 hours. No, but then she is making. Then what is it?
So you should tell her like whatever she regularly makes. Then
yeah, whatever, because 1 or 2 people only will go mostly.
Okay. So I should say not to for any devotee.
It's also a burden on Mataji.
It's not a burden.
Cooking 3 times a day.
Yeah. I mean, she likes to do it. She's doing for 50, so she can do for 7.